pray with me. Father God, as we turn our attention to your word, we pray that, Lord, you would guide, lead, and direct us. May your spirit be present in this place. And as we turn our attention to your name, God, we pray that our focus would be upon honoring you. We pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. Hey, you guys can have a seat. How are you doing today?
Great.
Well, that is nice to hear. What's in a name? What's in a name? You know what that question comes from? What's in a name? It's a famous quote, actually. Famous quote. It actually comes from Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet. I'm not kidding. There's no endorsement on that particular theatrical production or anything. The question is asked within the play, what's in a name? Because it implies that it's not so much your name that matters. It's not so much your label that matters. It matters what's in the heart. It matters who you are. And there's some truth to that. There's some truth to that. Unless we're talking about the name of God. Because if I'm going to answer that question as we speak about the name of God, the answer to that question is, what's in a name? Absolutely everything. Absolutely everything. So 2 weeks ago, we kicked off a new study in Exodus 20. And I said at the onset of the series that the Ten Commandments were not given to Israel merely as a set of rules or basic set of guidelines for self-improvement, although we do treat them that way, although society treats them that way to a certain extent, but rather that Exodus 20 is a part of God's redemptive story, how he made covenant with Abraham, how his grace was lavished upon Israel, and how he would shape them into a nation set apart for his likeness and his purpose. As we continue this week in our series, what do you live by? We all live by a set of rules and guidelines. We all live by something, right? We pick up at Exodus 20, verse 7, the second commandment given to Israel at Mount Sinai. I'm going to read it for you. Exodus 20, verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. You know, we honor things that we respect, don't we? We honor things we respect. We admire heroes of our faith, founders of the nation, people with important titles, patriarchs and matriarchs of our family. It's people like this. Even their names bring about a semblance of respect. Now we might all have different lists to a certain extent or another, but maybe an example of this would be a guy like Abraham Lincoln or Billy Graham, right? Even the name itself bears meaning. Now, in our day, we don't treat names like they did in antiquity. We treat them quite differently. For us, it's more like a label. But you have to keep in mind, in the days of the Exodus, your name meant everything. It's why Abram becomes Abraham. It's why Saul becomes Paul. Why? Because even their name spoke to what their life would be about. This is the lens for which I want us to see the commandment, the second commandment. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. If I were to ask you to explain to me, what does that mean? Like in a few short words, in your own words. Now, I don't want you to say this out loud, but I'm wondering what you might say if I said, why don't you explain to me what this means? We were talking about this on staff this week as we were studying this portion of Scripture and having some discussion on it. And the very first thing that was said is, don't curse. Simply don't curse. Don't say the name of God as a curse word. And this, to me, is certainly an accurate representation of what the commandment means. In fact, I remember saying to my kids when they were little, You know, you're going to say some things. You say some things. We all say some things. Your parents are going to say some things that we probably shouldn't say. I wasn't speaking for myself. I was speaking for my wife. But kidding, honey. We're going to say some things that we regret, right? But kids, don't ever let me hear you say the name of God as a curse word, because that is so offensive to me. I take it personally. Now, in saying that, there really is so much more to it. There is cursing the name of God. There is, to take it a little bit deeper, there is renouncing the name of God. This is what actually the dictionary explains as blasphemy. Isn't that just a harsh word? It's like one of the most serious words in all of the English language. Blasphemy, it just sounds frightening or scary. Blasphemy is to curse God. But there's another side to this too. Because what the commandment most assuredly is speaking to as well is using the name of God flippantly. What do I mean by that? One might say, well, I say the name God, or oh my, you know what I'm saying? And I don't mean anything by it. It's just what I'm used to saying, and that's the point. To say the name without meaning is vain. To take the name above every name and make it common or pointless is vain. Now, this could be slang, or it could be many other forms. Many other forms. Like our religious traditions. You show up for worship this morning, and you just go through the motions, singing and praising God without any thought to what you're doing. This includes this. There's a wide spectrum here. On one side, we have taking it lightly. On the other side, we have blasphemy. Now, when I say side, I don't mean level. I don't mean like, this one's better than that one. Nowhere in the commandment and nowhere in the commandments do we understand them as levels. No, when I say side, I'm talking about a wide spectrum. And when we look at spectrum, what that allows us to see is that these commands are great battles in our lives. These are things we do struggle with. Just like the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. We know that we put other things before God. This is a great battle in our lives. Similarly, with honoring His name, we can belittle the name of God in so many ways. Like using the name of God to get what we want. Seriously, to get what we want. Like maybe we might parent this way. Hey, don't do that! Or God's not going to be very happy with you, when really we were just annoyed, right? Or the phrase, very common phrase, God said. Well, God said. Well, God said that. God better have said that if we're saying God said. Why? Because we're using the name of God to prove a point, to get what we want, to do what we feel we need to do. Of course, you could take the very extreme case where people have killed or maimed in the name of God, right? Still happening to this day. All is covered in this wide spectrum. This is why we can say, look up here, this is why we can say the second commandment really gives us instruction, not just for how we speak, but just as importantly, how we live. How we live. Notice the second commandment does not mention speech or talk. It is certainly implied, but it doesn't say anything about talking or speaking. Remember what God is doing with Israel at Sinai. This was a beginning. As they are shaped into a new nation, they were to represent the one true God. In fact, he called them a priesthood, and this wasn't just a fancy name for Israel. They were to function as a priesthood to the world. And what was the function of the priests? They would go before God as representatives of the people and before the people as representatives of God. The priests were to meticulously follow detailed order to go before a holy God. What they offered, how they were to wash, what they were to wear, it all represented holiness as they presented sacrifices for their sins before God from or representative of the people. Which is to say, this command is really about representation. Just as Israel was being set apart from the world, God's people were to embody the character of God to the world. Let me show you it a little bit further here in the Hebrew term. When we say, do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, the term take here from thou shalt not take the name is nasa. Say that with me, just real quick. Nasa. See, now you know Hebrew. Nasa. It means literally to bear or to lift. The picture here is like bearing weight. Weight. Kind of like when someone says, whoa, that's serious, right? When I was 16, got my license. 2 weeks into getting my license, my dad said, here's the keys to the car. Bring your friend home. I don't feel like bringing him home. There's a bit of a weight to that responsibility. It was on the way, 2.5 miles, that I rear-ended someone. 16 years old. And that is not where the story ends. Because eventually I had to call someone to come pick me up. I wasn't so worried about if I got hurt. I was more worried about my dad seeing the car. And I remember him coming to pick me up at the scene of the accident, and I remember what he said. Never shared this story. I don't even know if my kids know this story. He said, Nick, do you realize what you have done? He's very serious, and I was very scared of him in this moment. He said, I haven't even informed the insurance company that you got your license. My heart went from here into the stomach. Somehow it got back. But I tell you what, the weight of what I had done, believe me, I could feel physically. That's the picture. Seriousness. And there's a scope here too. There is, of course, a seriousness that is, you know, when you hear news that is serious, there is a weight. It's not usually good news. Yeah, there is a fear of the Lord that is holy. On the other hand, seriousness can be a very, very good thing. Because I realized really, really quickly, 2 weeks into having my license, that I better take seriously my responsibility with the things that I had been given. Never been in an accident since. Okay, maybe not. Just kidding. But you get what I'm saying. The weight of responsibility as we carry or represent the name of God has been given to us because we are name bearers. We are name bearers. This is why the commandment is followed with a warning. Did you notice it? If you just put the verse back up, Exodus 20, verse 7. I want you to see the warning. And maybe you will too, with me, get that sense of weight to the scripture verse. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not, what? Hold him guiltless. What does that mean? Guiltless. Think about it in this light. In the scriptures, God places his name only upon Israel, only upon the city of Jerusalem, only upon the temple in Jerusalem, and in the New Testament, only upon the church. That's it. He doesn't place his name on anything else than those things in the Holy Scriptures. And I want you to consider the seriousness of that. Don't miss the part about the church. No matter your age. Kids, doesn't matter your age. No matter your profession, no matter your skill level, no matter your competence, no matter your confidence, representing the name of God does not begin when you learn to say the right things, or you go through Bible college, or maybe one day when you finally figure out what to say to that person in sharing the name of Jesus with them. No, you represent Jesus now, today. We are name bearers. If you have been called by God, if you have been accepted into His kingdom, if you have been saved and set apart, hear me, church, you're name bearers. And that's a good thing. See, we might shudder at that a little bit, and that's a good and healthy thing. And I hope that this responsibility doesn't keep us from wanting to bear the name, but it is truly a good thing. Because it's in this responsibility that we have been given the privilege to share the grace that has been shared with us with the world, just as we are members grafted in. That's what it means to be grafted into the covenant church through Christ Jesus. In a sense, just as God's name was upon the forehead of the priest's headdress, as they would go into the tabernacle or to the Holy of Holies, we too carry the significance of the name, just like we read just 8 chapters later in Exodus 28. I want to show you what it says. As they were instructed. No, there's so many more instructions than the 10. And in fact, chapter after chapter, we read of the meticulous detail God instructed Israel to follow in order to declare, represent His holy name. When I was sitting at home with COVID a little while ago, a few weeks ago, okay, I had lots of time to read through these chapters. Let me tell you, there is detail there. Detail that might even cause us to ask ourselves a question. Does this really apply to our lives today? And let me answer that question first and foremost by saying, you better believe it does to a certain extent, of course, because some of the detail of these commandments would certainly be hard to apply to our lives. But you'll see where I'm going here in a second. What does it say in Exodus 28? It says, you shall make a plate of pure gold and engrave on it like the engraving of a signet. Like something that would be on a ring. I'm not talking about a sign like this, but a sign like this. You can picture it with me. And what is on that signet? What is that? What is that picture? It is to say, what does it say there? Holy to the, what does it say? Capital L, remember this? Capital O, capital R, capital D. And what did we talk about 2 weeks ago? If you weren't here, you can watch it. That is the personal name of God. That is Yahweh. And you shall fasten it on the turban by a cord of blue. Again, the detail. It shall be on the front of the turban, it shall be on Aaron's forehead. What's the picture there? That it goes before us, that it's the first thing in, that it represents who we are, not just what we do. Holy unto Yahweh, the personal name of God. Doesn't that give us a bit of a picture? Why the warning? Why the warning? To dishonor the name of honor is to reject the only name by which we are saved. To deny the glory of God to the only one truly worthy of glory is to reject
or deny what we are created for. Colossians goes a bit deeper when it says, and whatever you do, hear this. In whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything. In what? In what? In the name of the Lord Jesus. Giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Just in case we understand what is being said here, we see this hint of the Trinity here. The Father through Christ Jesus, one in three. Every action, every interaction, always representing the honor and the glory before all people and foremost before God. In everything. That's it. Everything. Not just now, but when you leave here. And on Monday too. And when you're frustrated. And when you're happy. And on Friday nights too. And even when you're alone, honor the name of God. Do we do that? I'm really asking. Do we do that in everything we do? We are not perfect, are we? So are we all condemned? Here's the thing. We don't honor God in everything. In fact, the more focused on following the rules we get, often the greater struggle it can be. So we have to understand the law from the lens of the gospel. And how do we do that? How do we do that? Consider this. When our focus is on the rules in what we do, the burden, the weight, is not on the one we represent, but rather on us and what we do, right? So how do we understand the law from the lens of the gospel? Instead, when we focus upon honoring the one who fulfilled the law, when we focus on Christ's righteousness within us and our standing with the Savior, that allows us to be in right relationship with God. See, rather than living with the weight and the burden of the law, which goes unfulfilled because we cannot fulfill it. Church, we rather operate out of a heart of gratitude for the burden that He bore for us. In whatever we do, really means identity, rather who we are in Christ. His standing being our standing. His righteousness being our righteousness. We live by His name when the name bearer lives within us. You see that? As the praise team comes up and we have an opportunity to respond in faith to what He has done, I want you to just bow your heads with me as I close with a prayer that I would hope each and every one of us would be praying from our own hearts. A prayer that says, Jesus, when You come in and You transform my heart, it's there that I understand that You take the burden of what I cannot accomplish, and rather than me bearing the burden, You carry it upon Yourself. And it's there in gratitude that I allow You to transform my heart so that I can honor Your name in the things that I do and say. Would You pray with me? Heavenly Father, Man, I'm so grateful for the encouragement of your word. Lord, the gospel is so good. Jesus, thank you for the cross. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you bore what we could not. Thank you, Jesus, that because of what you have done, our great high priest, for what you have accomplished, for what you sacrificed, we can now have righteousness given to us through your grace by faith in your name. So, Lord Jesus, as we go from here, it means that we have the privilege of going in your Spirit, you within us, the altar of the tabernacle within us, forgiveness and mercy within us. That is our hope. Forgiveness. Fully accomplished at the cross. Not in part, in whole. We walk out of here free because of your forgiveness that has been accomplished in full. We are accepted and not condemned because we are free because of your forgiveness, God. Oh, that we would be a church that acts like we are forgiven. Sharing your grace with one another and eager to proclaim your holy and precious name. Amen.